In your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we'll find in Job chapter 25. Job chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have a very short chapter. Don't get used to it. Because now we will have an extended discourse by Job all the way through chapter 31 as Job answers not just Bildad here in the third speech of Bildad. Notice that Zophar does not take a third opportunity. And Job, when he answers, will go all the way through chapter 31. Then we will have in chapter 32 the beginning of the speech of Elihu, the young man. And he will go on for a couple of chapters or a little longer. And then the Lord will basically, if I could maybe give you a visual, it is as if the Lord says to Bildad, "Okay, step aside and let me finish this discourse." And so that's what we will see. And that will take us really through the end of the book with some dialogue with Job along the way. So that's where we're going for the rest of the book. We can see here the fatigue that is set in, can we not? The fatigue of the argument. So Bildad now speaks very shortly, with great brevity, and he says nothing new. Perhaps that contributes to his brevity. He does say some true things. He is mistaken in his application of them to Job. And yet, notice in saying even some of these true things, he is revealing in himself a little bit of equivocation in some of the terms that he uses. And we want to identify that as we move forward. Okay? So, shouldn't be very long then to go through chapter 25 here. It is only, what, six verses. So he turns the argument back on Job himself, seeing that Job has justified himself by his many words. And Job has done that. In fact, he will do that in this extended discourse from chapters 26 through 31, those six chapters. And Bildad will rise up in anger because Job had justified himself and did not justify the Lord. And I think that's a right use of anger there. He will also be angry with the three friends of Job because they did not speak the truth concerning Job. And so notice we have two very commendable instances of what we might call upright anger in Elihu in chapter 32. When we get there, we'll see that. All right, but Job did justify himself, and Bildad feebly is trying to respond to that. Of course, let's make sure that we understand what Bildad has done here and how he has equivocated. It's an important point to bring up. So the first thing he says is, okay, how can man be justified with God? Well, Job has already said that, hasn't he? We've already heard that in the book. What Bildad, however, is saying is, Job, you have spent time justifying yourself. That's wrong. You should never have done that. What Job has justified himself in doing, however, is he's justified himself before the accusations of the friends. He has not justified himself as a perfect man in God's sight. And so we have an equivocation here that we must identify about what it means to justify yourself. You can justify yourself with regard to vindicating your honor against a false accusation, and that is not a sin. As a matter of fact, to do something otherwise would be to lie or to equivocate. So that's important. We ought to see that. But we also ought to see that what Bildad does now is he confuses the two. And he says, oh, come on, Job, you're justifying yourself. The heavens aren't clean in God's sight, so how can you be just with him? And notice what he's done then. He's taken Job's vindication vindication of himself against the charges that have been brought up against him, and he has expanded that to its absolute end in order to gain the argument over Job. Job, in his response, we'll see this afternoon, Lord willing, is that Job will answer him and say, no, hold on a second. I'm not doing what you're saying that I'm doing. I agree with you that man can't be just in that absolute sense before God. But I'm also saying that I'm innocent of the charges that you've laid against me. So there is an equivocation in this passage, and I want to understand it, and I want us all to understand it together. Often we see this kind of equivocation in an upright way being used in the Psalter. Let's make sure we get that. There are times when the psalmist will say, the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness. Well, you take the prophet and you compare that. If your righteousness is a filthy, ragged righteousness, that's the last thing you'd want. You don't want to be recompensed with that kind of righteousness. But that's not what the psalmist means. The psalmist is speaking there, and we have one eye on the psalmist and one eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfectly holy when he lived upon earth, who did pursue a life of complete sinlessness. And according in that sense, then, he can speak of his own righteousness as that by which he was recompensed, or that for which he was recompensed. When our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, he was vindicated in his mission. And that's why he is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. And the psalmist can also speak in some cases relatively and not absolutely, like Job has spoken in his own defense. I'm innocent of these charges that you've laid against me, and so I am just in that sense. We must make sure we get this right, because so many have erred over the centuries in this conception of what justification is. And it has reared its head yet again in our age with what we call the new perspective on Paul, or the Auburn Avenue theology, where we have the term justification now standing for what human beings are able to do under Christ, and that is their own covenant fidelity. That's a horrid error. It teaches self-righteousness, and self-righteousness never saved anybody. It only heaped up wrath against them. So we have to get that right. We have to understand what Bildad has done here in his response to Job. He said, you've justified yourself. Why should you do that, Job? Nobody's just in God's sight. And Job's going to go on to say, I know that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the charges that you brought against me. So we have an equivocation, and we need to identify it. He says some true things, Bildad does, but they do not apply to Job in the way that he applies them. So then when he closes his speech there in verse 6, and he says that man and the son of man were just worms. Well, we've heard that, haven't we? We've heard that in the Psalter. But I am a worm and no man. We understand that to be true. Take a look at Job. Look at him in his present estate. Hard to recognize him as a man under such deep difficulties and afflictions. They have elevated themselves over Job in such a way as to make him worm-like. And yet now notice that Bildad backs up from that. And he says, all men are worms. You know, so we understand then that there is some fatigue here. As we saw a couple of chapters ago, there were some very direct and frustrated accusations made against Job by Eliphaz. Now here we have this equivocation made by Bildad against Job. And Job, when he goes on, gives us one of the most interesting and wonderful passages in the book of Job, where we hear about the Lord and his office as creator and sustainer of the world. But we'll save it for this afternoon. But Job will go on to say, as God does all these things and we behold everything that he does around us and we behold his majesty in the creation, we understand this about it as well, that we only see a very small part. In all the greatness that we see in what God is doing, it's just a little teeny bit of him that we see. This is the greatness of God. But we'll save that for this afternoon. Let's stand then and